My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and in truth, because that's who you're looking for. We've done that, and we're doing that. And so we honor your presence in this place and in our lives. And Lord, many of us are in different places in our walk with you, in different places in our lives. But Father, what we all have in common is that you're the same God, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So thank you that as we receive the word of God today, let it fall on good ground. And when it does, we thank you that it is going to produce 30, 60, and even 100-fold return as we hear it, as we receive it, and God, as we activate it in our lives by obeying it. Thank you for blessing us now. We just remove any distractions that would try to keep us from focusing. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing and receiving the engrafted word. In Jesus' mighty name, can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our theme for this year is a year of elevation and manifestation. Everybody say elevation and manifestation. I want to encourage you all to do something that I had our staff to do recently. I want you to go back and listen to these three sermons. Here's the first one. It is Prepare Your Heart to Seek. I think that was the last sermon in 2025. And I want you to do it in order. Then I want you to go back and listen to A Year of Elevation and Manifestation. And then the third message I want you to listen to is The Altar is the Elevator. When the staff went back and did this, they heard things that they didn't hear the first time. Amen. And these are probably one of the most three prophetic messages that I've done. So you have to touch your neighbor and say, he's about to tell you something. Always remember that faith in your heart is like gasoline in your car. Once you use it, you have to refuel it. I'm going to say that again. Once you use it, you have to refuel. Say this with me. Say, once I use it, I must refuel it. And that's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and not by having heard. And church, listen, heard Bible only produces knowledge, not faith. So since we're talking about having a year of elevation and manifestation, we had several individuals, and you can see that through the video, who experienced spiritual and position elevation, as well as myself. A couple of weeks ago, we ordained 6 additional pastors, 13 ministers, and 5 deacons. What a way to start a year. And if you're one of those individuals that were ordained, I want you to please stand. If you were one of those that were ordained, please stand, please. Come on, give them a big hand clap. Honor them with your hand clap. Amen. And so I'm going to ask to honor them from this point on with whatever title that they have, and hopefully we'll get some badges so you can know who is who. So, you know, since this is the second Sunday of the month, I'm going to do some shotgun messages. Now, you may say, well, what are shotgun messages? Shotgun messages is when I preach or teach some independent messages that are not necessarily tied to a series. Now, the last time I spoke, which was 5 weeks ago, I did the first message in our generational generosity series. And so I'm actually going to take today's message and tie that into that series. So if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give it to you. Our lesson title is Don't Just Seed, Learn to Receive. Everybody say, don't just seed. Learn to receive. And the goal of the message today, which is going to be very good, is to teach you how to better receive, as well as learn about the things that can block your receiving. Because many believers, watch this church, they have mastered the seed part, but they struggle to receive the harvest part. So those of us who participated in our annual Giving Sunday, which was a couple of weeks as well, if you didn't participate, I want you to. And then those who give on a regular basis, how many give on a regular basis? Let me see your hand. Listen, I believe this message is going to be timely for us. So our focus this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look in verses 6 through 11, and I'm actually reading out of the New Living Translation. This is what Paul said to the Corinthian church. He says, remember this. Now look at somebody and say, you need to remember this. He says, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get what kind of crop, church? A small crop. He says, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to do what? Give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives how? Cheerfully. May I have a little bit more monitor? I don't want to lose my voice this morning. Then he says, what happens? And let me just remind you, God loves a cheerful giver, but he doesn't hate an uncheerful one. Okay? Verse 8, because there are times that I have given and I wasn't cheerful, but I was obedient. Okay? Verse 8, after you give, he says, God will generously provide how much? All that you need. Then when? Then after you give, God will provide generously with all you need. Then you will always, say always, always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 9, as the scripture says, not Pastor Evan, but as Apostle Evan, here we go, right? The scripture says they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And then verse 10 says, for God is the one who provides seed for who, church? For the farmer, and then bread to eat. And in the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And then we conclude with verse 11 that says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always, everybody say always, always be generous. Now, here's the focus of what I wanted you to get out of what we just read. Did you notice that Paul, of course, who's the writer of this New Testament book, did you notice that he compared your giving to a farmer sowing seed? How many paid attention to that? Okay, he was, the only reason I read all that is to show you he was talking about or comparing when you give to a farmer who sows seed. Now, believe it or not, God compares all kinds of giving throughout the Bible to the sowing of seed. Now, it doesn't matter what type of giving, but he's talking about it. So watch this. Let me give you another example. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, be not deceived. God will not be mocked. For whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever. So whatsoever doesn't just include money or seed or love or joy or serving. He says, whatever a man gives or sows, that is what he shall also what? Reap. Notice the farmer terms here. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap corruption. Here's another farm example or farmer example. And let us not be weary in what? Well doing. Why? Because due season or harvest time will come if you do not faint. So I wanted you to see that giving in the Bible is referred to as sowing seed and getting a harvest. And here's why I'm focusing on giving being compared to a farmer. Because a farmer knows, watch this church, that after he sows seed, that he can justifiably, watch this, expect a harvest. He does, listen, as far as I know, a farmer doesn't allow his emotions to interfere with his harvest. So let me ask a question before we move to our next point. Or our first point, should farmers' harvest have anything to do with their feelings? Shouldn't. I mean, every now and then they may see the harvest coming up and they may be tired that day and say, you know what, instead of starting at 8 o'clock, I'm gonna start at 9. But they don't just let their feelings rule them and say, well, I don't know. And so for the most part, they don't do that. So my question to you is, why is it that when God is trying to use people to be a blessing to us, we allow our feelings to determine our harvest? We say stuff like, oh, it's okay, you don't have to do that. Touch a neighbor and say, he's on your street right now. Oh, you don't have to do that. Or, watch this. Or, well, okay, well, if you insist, what I'll do is just, I'll pay it forward for the next person. Why? Why do you have to do something if somebody is just trying to bless you? Which brings us now to our first point, and this point is very strong. So touch your neighbor and say, I hope you had your coffee. Our first point is, why do givers struggle to receive? Why do givers struggle to receive? So just do this one more time. Look at your neighbor and say to him, you are about to get some therapy right now. This is free therapy right here. Why do givers struggle to receive? Or let me say it this way. Why is there resistance to receive when you have released sowing of your seed? So I have four key reasons, and hopefully if you all can track with me this morning, you'll get all four reasons. If not, you'll just wonder what I was going to say. So here's the first reason. One of the reasons people struggle to receive is pride that's disguised as humility. And this is why people say stuff like, I don't need anything. You know, I was in the grocery store and I tried to pay for a lady's food and she was like, oh no, I have the money. Or we say stuff like, you didn't have to do that. Or watch this, here's a good one. I'm good, or I can afford it. Now the sad thing is we're functioning in false humility when we do these things. Here is one that I'm pretty sure everybody has said at one point in time. Someone gave you a compliment, and instead of just saying, thank you, you deflected. Stuff like, girl, this dress is 25 years old. She didn't ask you that. You either deflect it or you downplay it. So I'm about to share a verse that I pray that after I read this verse, you'll never see it like you see it today. James chapter 4, verse 6. I'm reading out of the King James. Watch what it says. But he, referencing God giveth. No, it don't just say grace. What it say? More grace. Okay, watch this. This is good because that means he's already a giver of grace. But let's see who and why he gives more grace to people. It says, but he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God does what, church? Resist the proud, but he gives grace. We can say more grace to who? The humble. Now, listen to the New Living Translation. And he gives grace generously, as the scripture said. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the who? To the humble. So I want you to notice, listen, that pride repels grace, but humility compels grace. Do you see that? I'm gonna say that again. Pride repels or pushes grace away, but humility compels or draws grace to you. In other words now, humility becomes a magnet for grace. Now, you may say, well, what is grace? I'll share that with you in just a second. And based on this verse, this is saying that God, listen, gives grace to those who are humble, but he opposes those who are proud. So when you and I, when it's coming to receiving, if we have, watch this, false humility, which is nothing but pride, if we're functioning in pride, listen, we're putting ourselves in opposition for the harvest to come. You may say, well, why is that, Apostle? Why is it that God opposes the proud? It's because God is trying to send a harvest your way, but your pride may be repelling it. So when we're functioning in pride and we repel this harvest that God's trying to send, what happens is we're not maximizing our receiving. So since we're here, let me show you something else about this verse real quick. Notice that this verse did not say that God only gives to those who are humble. It didn't say that. So this is why some people who are not humble can still be blessed by God. People who don't even know God. Do you know unsaved people? If they, listen, the laws of sowing and reaping does not discriminate when it comes to people who are Christians or not. If an unsaved person puts a seed in the ground and they take care of it, what's going to happen? They're going to get a harvest. So the question is, how is it that they can receive as well? It's because the Bible says, and this is in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So the major difference is, watch this, prideful people get what they have sown, because the laws of sowing and reaping are going to work. But those who are humble not only get what they sowed and get it multiplied, watch this, theirs comes with favor attached to it. Because if favor is not attached to what I gave, there's no difference between me and an unsaved person. How can they see the light in our lives if what we're doing and what they're doing is the same? So let's read 2 Corinthians 9. I want to read it out of the King James because I want to show you that word grace or favor. The word grace there means favor. Every man, as according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or not a necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here's verse 8. After that person cheerfully gives, God is what, church? Able. He's able to do what? Make all grace, not some grace, but all grace, watch this, abound toward you. Now here's a question. Why doesn't that say that God will make all grace? It didn't say God will make all grace. It said God, watch this, is able to make all grace. Well, why does it say that? Here's why. Because we just read, if pride is there, grace can't flow. So he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Now the word grace there, it actually translates also to the word favor. How many like favors? It means favor as well. And that word favor means also, watch this, God will cause divine influence to come on someone's heart to bless you. So listen to where we are so far. One of the hindrances for us to not receive is pride. But when we function in humility, and I'm going to break it down and help you understand what that's all about. When we function in humility, then what happens is when our giving takes place, then God now turns around, multiplies it, and he attaches favor to it. And what is that? That's somebody that God will put on their heart to bless you, and they don't even have to be saved. So let me give you a testimony. It'll probably give me some criticism, but I feel it's going to help you understand that this is how it works. So last year, you all know I turned 60. I wanted another car. I had a convertible that had a lot of miles getting on it, and, you know, miles start giving problems. And so I'm like, okay, it wasn't under warranty no more. So I'm like, got to get rid of the car. But I wanted another one. But I didn't want the same kind of car. I wanted a different one. So I started looking. And when I found the right one, everybody say the right one. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know I have the right one? How do I know I have the right man? I'm talking about if you're single. How do I know if, yeah, I have to say that. But you say, well, how do you know that you had the right one? Because watch this, favor is what you follow. Everybody say always, follow the favor. If you don't see the favor of God on something, especially if it's big, then let it go because something better is on the way. So I saw some other cars, but I was like, and I tried to get them because I liked them, but favor wasn't flowing. So finally I found this one, I'm like, and then the favor just starts flowing. Well, you say, well, what was the favor? Well, two people, everybody say two people. Two different people. They had nothing to do with Word of Truth Family Church. Two different people God used to give me $46,700 to buy that car. Now see, your mind will be like, how did that happen? Everybody say, that's grace. That's favor. Amen. That's what favor and grace looks like. But if we are self-sufficient and prideful, watch this now. then favor can't flow. So people who are not humble and who are prideful may receive good things, but only those who are humble gets favor and grace with theirs. And this thing about favor is, listen, favor can come from God or man. And so the first reason why givers struggle with, you know, to receive is due to pride. Here's number two, if you're taking notes, sometimes they struggle because they have the unworthiness mentality. I'm just not worthy of it, you know? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think a farmer takes the time to sow seed, and then when the harvest comes up, he says, well, I don't think I'm worthy of this harvest? How many know a farmer would not say that? Then why do we do that? I'm not worthy of it. I sinned yesterday. And who didn't? Right? No, a farmer probably wouldn't say that. So here's the question. Why do we? We think that thinking well of ourselves, I'm getting ready to help some people, puts us in a category of being prideful. So look at Romans 12:3 very quickly. He says, for I say to you through the grace that's given to me, to every man that is among you, that includes us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according that God has given to every man the measure of faith. So here's the question. How do we think more highly of ourselves? Well, most people don't read the verse and understand it. It didn't tell us to not think highly of ourselves. It said don't think more highly of ourselves. Well, how do I think highly of myself? You know what I do? I take the word of God and I believe what it says about me and I apply it to myself. So if the word tells me I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you can call me ugly, I ain't. Taking the word of God based on what God has said and believe it is how you and I think highly of ourselves. And recently I was talking to one of my neighbors, right? And he saw a video of me. I don't know if it was the one that went viral. And he said to me, you know what? And I'm quoting him. He says, what makes giving right is when we give without expecting to receive anything back. And here's the problem, church. That's the average mentality of a Christian. You know why? Because we listen to the world because, you know, maybe you're part of the Instagram congregation because they don't expect you to believe that you should receive something back. And even though that sounds good, oh, it's just, you know, you shouldn't expect back. I looked at him and my response to him was, that's not true. And he looked at me puzzled. And so I said to him, Does a farmer take the time to sow seed in the ground and not expect anything back? And he looked at me like, no. I said, that's why that's not true. And he says, you're right. And that's what this false humility lie that people have had that keeps them from receiving. Because that lie is, oh, well, you know, I shouldn't expect anything back. But church, let me say this. If God's word says it's okay for me to receive something after I give it, then it's okay. I'm going to say that again. If God's word says it's okay for me to receive something after I give something, then it's okay. I'm going to say it one more time. If God's word says after I give something, I can expect something back, then it's okay. So I want us to read Luke 6:38. We're going old school. We're going Kojic. We're going Baptist. Read. All right, y'all ready? We're going to read. Let's read together. Give and it shall be given unto you. Stop. Let's do it again. Give and it shall be given to you. Stop. Let's read it again. Give and it will be given to you. Wow. We don't even have to read the rest of the verse. God just said, when you give, what's going to happen? So it's false humility for me to sit here and say, well, I shouldn't expect nothing back. That's pride, and God resists you, and favor can't flow. He says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use, when you do good to others, it will be measured to you again. You know why I expect good? Because I sow good. Church, if God said it, I can have it. I said, if God said it, I can have it. And church, you got to get rid of this I'm not worthy attitude, because God, if God said it's okay, then I should be okay with that. Say amen to that. Amen. The other day I was going through this driveway or drive-through of a Chicken Express, and I ordered a sweet tea with extra ice in it and a gallon of the sweet tea. How many like that Chicken Express tea? Yeah, boy, that is sugar diabetes in a cup. I'm telling you. So I get up to the window, and I do this enough where I know what they're going to do. I get up to the window, and they normally take your money first. They're not going to give you your food, because some people will drive off. So they want you to give them. So I got my money in my hand. I got a $20 bill. And the guy says, oh, you're good. So I'm thinking, well, so I take the food, and then I try to give him the 20. And he said, no, you're good. Now, I could have blocked the blessing by forcing him to take the money. Or I could have said, oh, well, just you taking it in, I'm paying it forward, so anybody that comes behind me, theirs is free. No, I simply said, thank you. So let me explain something to you. This is going to hit you right here in the stomach, right here. How you treat a little blessing is how you will treat a big one. Did you hear what I said? How you treat a little blessing is how you would treat a big one. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? I'm saying this. If you have pride in a little blessing, you're going to have pride in a big blessing. Say amen to that. So, you cannot have the mentality of the world and prosper at the level God wants you to. Because, you know, people in the world, carnal Christians, or I'm just real, they'll say something like, well, nothing in life is free. Well, it depends on how you look at it. Because if you paid for it before I got there, then it's free to me. Did you get that? So the second reason why givers can struggle to receive is because we have this unworthiness mentality about ourselves. Here's reason number three. We struggle to receive because we feel we have to earn it in order to qualify for it. Oh, this one right here, I'm gonna slap every row. Pa, 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 pa. I'm going to say it again. The reason we struggle to receive is because we feel we have to earn this harvest, earn what's given in order to qualify for it. But this is the whole point of why God gives grace after we give. We would be no different than the world, like I said earlier, if we got a regular giving or return on our giving. I don't want to be regular. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't want to be regular. No. I want the world to look at my life and be like, what are you doing? Because church, God adds, everybody say he adds. God adds the grace factor so that we are always in a position to be a blessing. And that's what 2 Corinthians says. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Why? So you can always have. Why? So that you may always abound in every good work. So let me give you an example of what it looks like when we feel like we have to earn this return in order to qualify for it. So let me do it this way. This involves your participation. So touch your neighbor and say, you need to participate. All right. How many in here have ever received a pay raise on your job? Raise your hand. All right, keep it up. Now look around. That's a lot of people, ain't it? Okay, pretty much everybody got their hands up unless they're underage, right? All right, put your hand down. Now, how many of you, your job offered you $25,000 or some amount for a raise to do the same thing and you refused it? Let me see your hand. I'm looking because I'm gonna have you come work for the church for free. Not a hand. We got a half a hand. That's a half a hand right there. No, no. You would not refuse that money, that increase on your job. You know why? Because it's tied to your work. Therefore, you feel you qualify for it. But what happens when God wants to do something like that? And listen, you did nothing to earn it. That's what grace and favor is all about. And this is why so many people struggle even with salvation, because it's free. Yeah, he tells us what we need to do. You need to repent. You need to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But after that, it says you're saved. And listen, it says, not by works, lest any man should boast. People have a hard time with salvation being free, because it says it is by grace you are saved. So we have a problem with grace receiving. Well, most people who struggle with grace receiving is, most of the time, it's tied to how they were raised. See, when I was raised, we had a duty board. How many know what a duty board is, right? Yeah, okay, let me explain. A duty board in our house growing up is, I know you're looking at mama, I know you're watching. So it was right there outside of my parents' bedroom door. It was a sheet of paper with everybody's names on it, with all the duties that need to happen in the house. Kitchen, bathrooms, you know, vacuuming, whatever it is. And so whatever was by your name for that week, like if you was on kitchen duty, you get your, and if you did it right, you were rewarded. In other words, since I did it right, I got paid. But see, grace don't always, you have to always do it right. And we don't get that. It's like, how can God bless me? I'm not saying live any kind of way. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, God, once you give, God looks past things, because once the seed is in the ground, I'm qualified for the harvest. Which now, let's look at number four real quickly here, because I only have 8 minutes. What's another reason people struggle to receive? Here's number four. It's because we allow fear to rob us instead of allowing God's word to resolve us. See, you'd be surprised how many people don't receive because of fear. So let me give you some reasons of how fear works when it comes to receiving. Some people feel as though if someone gives them something, that they now owe them something. How many felt like that before? Somebody blessed you and you feel like now you got to do it back. Right? So, or sometimes when people give to them, they feel like they are obligated to do something in return. And that's why sometimes people do the pay it forward in drive-thrus. They feel guilty. Oh, somebody gave it to me. They just can't sit there and be like, well, that's a free coffee. Praise God. Why? Because they feel obligated, as if they're going to owe somebody. Here's the second reason. Some people feel like that if it's, you know, too much good that happens to one, watch this, it attracts bad things. You know, we was growing up, it was called Jinx. How many remember Jinx? It's almost like, oh man, too much good is coming. Watch out, watch out. That's fear. Amen. That's what the Shunammite woman, you can write this down, I'm not going to read it. 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman, the man of God came to her and said, hey, what can I do for you? Because she was just a blessing to him. And she was like, you know what? Elijah's servant, he asked him first. He was like, hey, what can we do for this lady? And he was like, well, I don't know. He's like, does she have any kids? No, she doesn't. So when Elijah saw her, he said, hey, listen, I tell you what, you know what? You don't have a son, and by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And you know what she said? She said, don't lie to me. She was scared. And some people are scared to receive increase. Here's another one of why. We fear that people will reject us or persecute us. In other words, we fear what people will say when they see the blessing. Church, I've discovered that how you and I respond to haters and critics exposes the level of foe we have faith for. I'm going to say that again. How you and I respond to haters and critics exposes the level of foe that we have faith for. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Mark chapter 10, verse 28. It says, then Peter came to him and says, lo, Jesus, we have left how much? All. We left everything to follow you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but they, the people that do that, they shall receive how much, church? 100-fold. When? Not just when you get to heaven. It says now. You're going to receive 100-fold in this time. And then he talks about what some of that 100-fold is. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land. You say, I don't want 100-fold with the children. Well, anyway. But he says, you'll see, receive this 100-fold now in this time. But I wanted you to notice the last two words. He says, with persecutions. Now, that word persecution means hostility, opposition, and mistreatment. And so most people, watch this, here's a take-home statement. Most people, they fear increase because they don't want the backlash. The problem is, you already expose what level of foe you want to walk into based on how you respond to backlash. Listen, if you want to live a blessed life, you're going to have to grow some thick skin. How many saw me go viral? Let me see your hand if you saw me go viral. Did y'all read some of those comments? It was nasty, wasn't it? None of them pay my bills. None of them. None of them probably get a dime to God, and they sure ain't God gave me. So my attitude is, look, when you can outgive me, you can talk. We can talk now. Until you outgive me, then I don't take advice from somebody who just is criticizing. Come beside me, and then we can talk. Say amen to that. So listen, why should I fear a little man when I have a big God? Why? Because when it comes to God blessing you, you can't be, listen, some of y'all probably got nice cars that you don't ride to work because you don't want your boss to see what kind of car you got. Look at your neighbor and say, who is he talking to right now? You don't want him to see that car? Oh, no, I'm not driving that car to work. Some of y'all got some nice jewelry and some nice stuff, but you ain't gonna wear it to work. Church, why should you fear a little man when you have a big God? Psalm 118, verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Psalm 27, 1 says, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. So who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid of? When the wicked, when the criticizers, when those who oppose me, even my enemies and my foes, when they came up to eat my flesh and talk about me online, they stumbled and fell. Even if a host came up against me, my heart would not fear. Why? If the war rises against me, I will not be fearful. I will be confident. Why? Because my God is with me. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you, says the Lord. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. Oh, my God. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. Those who attack you will come to nothing. For I will hold you by my right hand. I am the Lord your God. Don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. But I'm here to give you some good news, church. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So allow the grace of God that he wants to release when you give. Let it flow in your life. So how do we apply the word real quick? I got 1 minute and 9 seconds. How do we apply this word? Number one, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because I believe, I hear from God, and I know I'm talking about a topic that probably is touching us. How many could do better in receiving in your life? Let me see your hand. You could do better. Yes. So what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Here's number two. If I've hit on some areas that relates to you today, then repent from false humility or pride so that favor can start flowing greater. And then number three, watch this now. You got to talk favor and you got to expect favor this week. Man, you listen. And by the way, I'm going to have to finish this next week. Okay, so there's a part two. Because see, some of us, we constipated our favor with our words. But this week, start expecting favor to flow. Expect you drive up to the drive-through and be expecting them to say, it's free. And if they don't, just pay for it. You was going to do that anyway. Number three or number four, follow the favor and watch God work. And I believe there are some of you who are in the process of trying to do something big. Right? I don't know if it's buying a house. I don't know if you're trying to get a car. I don't know if you're trying to change jobs and you're trying to figure out which one to pick. But there you're in here because I'm going to give you the secret to how to pick. Be ready. How do you know which job to pick? How do you know which man to pick if you're single? How do you know which woman to pick if you're single? How many know which car to pick or which house to pick? Let me tell you how you know. Follow the favor. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, thank you for the word today. I thank you that it has fallen on good ground. And so, Lord, we as a congregation and those who are watching, we repent right now from pride that has kept us from receiving compliments, pride that has struggled to receive when people are trying to bless us. And God, as we repent today, we expect now the flow of favor to take place in our lives. And I thank you for just great testimonies coming out of this word as we position ourselves to receive like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head still bowed, here's my question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven?